praise you, Lord. We honor you this morning. This morning I was hearing fear, where there has been fear in people's lives. We speak to that, to bow your knee to the name of Jesus. We loose the love of God. We thank you, Father, for your love. You are a good God. You have good things for the people. We thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against us prospers in any way. We declare victory. Yes. We thank you, Lord. You have victory in every situation. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. If you agree, say amen. Glory. You may greet one another this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, welcome to Victory Life Family Church. Welcome to those of you online this morning. It's good to have each and every one of you with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank you. This is the day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're all rejoicing. We're glad. We're thankful. We're grateful, and we're very blessed in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, if it's your first time, our website is vlfc.church, and there's all our messages, past video and audio and sermon notes are on there as well. We're on YouTube, Rumble, Instagram, and Facebook, so subscribe, follow, like, and share with your friends. We're excited about what God's doing in this area. Amen. We're expecting great things and to see the power and presence of God in this area and the lives of the people. Praise God. We want to remind you of Pastor Rodney's daily devotional on our website, and it's on Facebook. So if you like the social media area, just click on social media and then go to, you know, go to your Facebook page, and then you can go that way through your website. Otherwise, you can go straight to your website. Sundays, doors open at 9. Pre-service prayers from 9:20 to 9:40. Service starts at 10. So come early. Enjoy one another. Praise God. Have fellowship. Wednesdays, we have started our discipleship course, Jesus, the Miracle Worker. What an awesome time we're having on that. It's a great time. The sessions are filled with teaching, discussion, activation, practical hands-on ministry as well. So there's a teaching at first, and then we break out into groups or however the Lord leads in that. And we have a discussion, we have activation, and we have hands-on training and prayer in these sessions as well. And so that's Wednesday nights, and doors open at 6. And so we invite you to come early. It starts at 6:30, and there's snacks afterwards. And so we want to have that time of fellowship and connection as well. When we had the home groups on Wednesday nights, we all like the snacks afterwards. We all like to have that time to visit and share with each other. And so we invite you to that. Friday prayer is now at the church. We started this past Friday, and that's from 9 to 10 every Friday. And so we invite you to come to the church, and that's to pray over our church family and the community as well. And for volunteers, we currently have openings for greeters. The coffee station back here, if you're interested, if you like to be in the coffee area to serve in that capacity, ushers, video production, children and youth ministry, and the worship team. Also, if you have a heart to lead the prayer team or discipleship classes, please let us know about that, and we'd love to work with you on those things as well and develop in your gifts. We want to thank all of you who are volunteering, who are serving in the church. It does take all of us to come together and see what God can do and work together as a family. Praise God. And so we have these new vision brochures. In these vision brochures, there's also a QR code online. If you are watching, there's a QR code on your screen where you can find out more about this vision. And so we're believing for a property and building of our own with lots of room for growth, prayer groups, connect groups, nursery, classrooms for the children's ministry, young adults, and fellowship hall. The children need a classroom. They need teachers. So if God's speaking to you, if you're a teacher for children, we need to get the volunteers going for the children, because we need at least two in there at all times to teach the children. And so in order for that to get going further, If God's speaking to your heart and you say, you know what, He is calling me to work with the children, then this is the time. We will have a application process and those kinds of things. But, you know, the children need to have their time as well. And so if the Lord's speaking to you in these areas, please let us know. And we can work with you. If you haven't ever taught the children, if you haven't done those kinds of things, you know, there's always going to be two people. So there will be a lead and then, you know, an assistant or another person serving at least to start out with. And so if that's something on your heart, please let us know. The building project, we're believing for $5,000 to come in by the end of May. And this is all part of this brochure here. So you can see here, there's the church building that I just mentioned, and it has a vision of a sanctuary on there. It has a vision. We all know we enjoy the fellowship hall. We enjoy the time together, the connect and prayer. Here's a prayer room. We want the prayer rooms. Prayer is big. Everything starts in prayer. This ministry is founded on prayer. That's why we have Friday prayer. That's why we have pre-service prayer. And we're going to see the Lord move in the lives. There's a children's classroom, a nursery, a children's classroom. And then there's youth rooms as well. And so we just want to give you this vision to look over, you know, hold it before you. And so with that, you know, project for the end of May, we're believing for another sign for the building, better lighting for this room, the children's room to be equipped for ministry. We just did order another table for the children to be able to have some time in there. They like to move. They like to be up and not just sit the whole time, but also there's a table to teach them as well. And so that's on the way here right away. And we're also believing for a keyboard and praise and worship team. So far, $1,009 has come in. And that leaves $3,991 remaining. So praise God for the seed that's come in and the harvest that's coming into your household. And we encourage you to believe for it, release your faith in this, watch God do what only He can do in the projects in your life as you're connected to the church. And so this morning for our offering, if you want to turn to Psalm 92, verse 12 through 14, that's Psalm 92, verse 12 through 14. Praise God. He is good. Amen. He is a good God. We see vision. We're seeing growth. You know, I mentioned this recently, even a couple times. We started in our basement. We went to a conference room. Now we're in a rented space. It hasn't been that much time. See what God is doing. And He is increasing and multiplying, but it's because He wants to get the message out. He wants to see each and every one of us fulfilling the call on our lives. He wants to see the community saved and set free. You know, there's revival coming. There's revival happening right now. And so that's part of our prayer. What we're praying is an awakening in the lives of the people. You know, if we're not satisfied unless we are fulfilling the call and the plan that God has on our life. I mean, you know, people are, you know, going to drugs and alcohol, going to the casino. They're trying to fill a void, you know, in the wrong relationships, whatever it is, to fill a void that only God can. And when we hook up with Him and His plan, there's nothing more fulfilling. There's nothing more satisfying than being in the plan and purpose of God. And that's why we're here. We're here because He's called us. We're here to help walk that out. We're here for you to help you walk it out. And so as we're reading this morning, I asked you to turn to Psalm 92. But before that, speaking of vision, Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." We just stay stagnant or we even fall away. But when we have vision, when we see where we're going, we can say, hey, I want to be a part of this. God's going to do it. He provides the seed for the sower. We're not asking you to give out of yours, but we're asking the Lord. He's the one that gave us direction. We're asking Him for the plan, and He's the one who's providing. And so Psalm 92, verse 12 through 14 says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our gods. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing." Who wants to be fresh and flourishing? Praise God. This scripture tells us how, that we must be planted in the house of the Lord. Planted, you know, fresh and flourishing. I gave Alice a bath, our baby, last night, and she was all fresh and clean, and she was so happy, feeling good, all excited, and just letting out all the squeals and talking about it and just feeling so good. You know, when you're fresh, hallelujah, when you're free, you're flourishing, you're feeling good. We want to feel good, right? The Lord is so good. Praise God. And so those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish. And, you know, in Hebrews, it says, don't forsake the assembling together of the brethren, especially as that day approaches, meaning Jesus coming back, because it's getting darker and darker out there. We need each other. And so this is all coming together. And he has a plan. So life isn't over for you yet. Someone here was thinking about this. What can I do? It's too late for me. I know the Lord showed me that. People have been thinking this. It's too late. But I'm here to tell you, it's never too late when you're in Christ. He has something for you to do, whether you're 2 years old back there, or you're 100 years old. It doesn't matter. If we're still here, if we're in Christ, he has that plan. He has that purpose for you. So it's not too late. Praise God. The righteous shall flourish. Well, who are the righteous? Those of us who are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he has made him who knew no sin, talking about Jesus, for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So be expecting. Everyone be expecting. As you're hooked up and connected to the vision that God has for this church, but he also has a vision for your own individual lives. And so as you're sowing your seed this morning, know that you have a harvest coming. Know that you are a harvest. Praise God. You literally have planted yourself. You've planted your own seed right here in the house of God. So you are a harvest. Praise God. That is awesome. And so this morning, as you're given just the offering instructions here, there's an offering envelope on the seat back in front of you, or under your seat. If you're given by check, please write it to VLFC. If you're given online, there's a general fund, or for the building fund, you can drop down for the building fund as well. And the building fund, if you're given above and beyond your normal tithes and offering, you can just write that on your check or on the envelope as well. And then is there any other... If you're given by credit card or cash, please fill out your information. If you're given by credit card, you have to sign the signature line there as well. And so, praise God. Let's say our offering confession together. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed. We speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Double, double, double and double again in Jesus' name. Praise God. You may receive the offering this morning.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Pastor Paula. Thank you, Alice, for helping us out this morning too. Glory to God. Father God, we thank you so much for this day, Father God, for this opportunity to come together, Lord, to hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, but Lord, not just the teaching and the preaching, but Lord, we are expecting, Lord, that you are here to confirm your Word as you have promised. The Word says in Matthew chapter 16, in that great commission, yes, they went about as you gave them instruction to preach and to teach, to cast out demons, to lay hands on the sick and to see them recover. And the scripture says there in verse 20, and the Lord was with them, confirming confirming his word. So by faith, we're not just here to hear words, whether we're in this room or whether we're watching online, whenever you are, wherever you are, we are by faith hooking up and we are expecting to see God show up in our lives. We're expecting God to show up in this service today, and we are expecting to see the signs, the wonders, the healings, and the miracles. And I would encourage you, even as you're sitting in this service today, faith is coming. Faith is coming. You don't have to wait till the end. You don't have to wait for hands to be laid on you. You can just get healed right there in your chair. You can get healed right there wherever you are watching from. You can receive your healing because healing is here. Healing always comes. But by faith, we just reach out and we receive it. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. If you agree with that, just say amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's all hold up our Bibles. Glory to God. What an honor and a privilege. This is my Bible, the living Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for the word. If we understood the preciousness, the price that has been paid over all of the centuries, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, but all of the saints, all of these apostles, all those that died for the faith so we could be holding the Bible today. The weightiness of this, it's no small thing. It is no small thing. Yes, we get to sit here in this beautiful, comfy chairs, air conditioned. They were being thrown to the lions. Nero burned the Christians as human torches. We got it made in the shade, literally. Praise God. Oh, but we still must honor the word. They honored the word. They would not relent. They would not recant. They held fast to their confession of faith because this word was so precious to them. We must recognize that. Hallelujah. And to see the value that the God himself placed on it, even so much that Jesus died for it. And it was so much more than just casually dying for something. Oh, he paid, and we looked at that in these last few weeks. He paid an awesome price, an awesome price. Hallelujah. So we make much of him. We make much of the blood. We make much of that sacrifice. Oh, but last week we've been starting here recently on the subject of miracles. And this is something the Lord had put in my heart even since September to a few weeks ago. We were teaching on the subject of faith specifically, looking at faith mechanics, how it works, looking into all the ins and outs of that. Not that we have exhausted the subject, but I believe we did it pretty good justice. But on the heels of that, you know, it's we talked about faith as an act. Faith is an act. Your faith is not really faith until it is acted upon. And the Lord really helped me with this revelation here a few weeks ago, and I'm still enjoying it. And really, when you sum up, you know, faith is this and faith is that and faith speaks and faith in a nutshell is obedience to revelation. Again, the marriage at Cana turned to these servants and just said, whatever he tells you to do, y'all do it. She walks out of the room. That is such a word. Whatever he tells you to do, do that. Amen. Now, Holy Spirit, now, again, we talked about this. John 16:13, this is at the Last Supper. Jesus is giving out these final instructions, but he's letting them know in John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth has come, he says he will lead you, he will guide you into all truth. He goes on to say a few scriptures later in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Word, the Spirit of truth, he will breathe on a specific word and show you how to walk that out in your life to see the manifestation. Again, the overarching truth is by my stripes you were healed. The overarching truth is my God will meet all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You should never know lack. How do you walk that out today in this situation? Amen. He will teach you to profit. He will teach you to prosper. He'll show you how to manage resources. That even in a natural side, oh, but there's a miraculous side. If you remember, they came to Peter. They came to Peter and says, hey, don't you and the master pay taxes? And so Jesus, you know, taught on that just a little bit. But he said, Peter, hey, go over here. You're a fisherman, right? Just go over here and throw your line out in the water. You're going to catch a fish. And when you do, open up his mouth. There's going to be a gold piece in it. It'll be enough to pay taxes for you and me. And oh, by the way, go ahead and flay that fish. We're going to have it for dinner. That is so completely out of the ordinary. But what did Peter need? He needed a word from God. That was a revelation. Jesus gave him a word. Jesus gave him a revelation. He had to go do it. What if Peter said, well, my God meets all of my needs. He can do it. I can just sit here at home. I can just go over here. I can just, you know, get three jobs. You know, I can figure out a way to pay my taxes. God had a sweatless victory in mind, and it was just something as simple as, hey, go hang out over here on the beach. You know, do what you like to do anyway. Go fishing and go throw a line in the water, catch you some dinner and pay your taxes all at the same time and then just enjoy your afternoon. Sweatless victory. Again, he was obedient to that revelation. What if he had not heard that revelation, that he stuck in the natural realm, getting this by the sweat of his brow? Everything goes, again, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will, say he will, lead me, he will guide me into all truth. I see, I hear, and I know exactly what to do for my miracle today. Praise God. So again, we are expecting. So again, all you need is a word from God. No matter how big, how monumental the debt may be, the circumstance may be, it's just a mountain and mountains are to be removed. We don't entertain the mountain. We don't talk about how big the mountain is. No, I'm looking to God to tell me what to do about that mountain. Now, I know what he wants to do, but Lord, how do I handle that today? He will give you a word. He'll give you a direction. Say this, only say that, you know, sow here, do this, do that. Whatever he tells you to do, go do it. You will see a miracle. Just like turning in water into wine, just like the woman with the issue of blood, she was a wealthy woman. A wealthy woman, she had an issue of blood, a flow of blood. Basically, her cycle went without end for 12 years. I mean, if you can just imagine a flow of blood for 12 years. And again, I was thinking about that, not just your body is weak because you're losing blood, right? But also all of the hormones and stuff that go with that for 12 straight years. Oh, it says she grew worse. She saw many physicians. So, and she spent all that she had. She had lost all of her money. She's lost her health. It's only gotten worse. In the natural, there is no possible remedy for this. Amen. But she got a word. This woman literally heard. Someone came and preached to her a word. A friend, a relative, maybe someone who actually was in one of his healing crusades and got healed. Somehow or another, she heard about Jesus. Someone told her something. All she had, really, when you think about it, she had one revelation from God, and she acted upon that. She just kept going over, well, if I could just get to Jesus, and I heard that he laid hands on somebody and they got healed, so if I can just come in contact with him and grab his clothes, I can be healed too. And she's thinking on this, and she's meditating on this, and she's meditating on this, and then Jesus comes to town, and she says, oh, there's my chance. She runs in the crowd when she had no business. As an unclean woman, even being in the crowd, but she runs through all there, she presses in, she grabs the hem of his garment, and then she takes off until Jesus stopped her and said, no, you need to testify about this, sister. Tell me. And she said, the Bible says she told him the whole truth. I have ministered to people over the years, and when they tell you the whole truth, this might take 45 minutes, you know, because they'll give you the whole backstory and how it happened and all the 12 years and all the 37 doctors and, you know, praise God. But they told the whole truth. Hallelujah to Jesus. She had a word from God and she was obedient to that revelation. All she needed was one word, and she saw an awesome miracle. Praise God. So again, whether it's a catching a fish or whether it's touching someone's hem or whether it's, as the word says, you know, go seek out the elders of the church, have them lay hands on you, anoint you with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise them up. Well, however the Lord leads you, that's most important. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, but we're going to be looking here today at this, at another miracle. So again, last week was the one with the issue of blood. We saw that faith speaks, faith acts, faith receives, and then faith goes and testifies. So again, somebody told her, amen, now that she's received, it's her responsibility. That's why Jesus stopped her, so the crowd could hear it. Now, but furthermore, you have to go and testify of it. So again, I know when we last Sunday, we had a charge. Has God ever been good to you? Has God ever healed you? Has he ever met your need? Go testify about it. So go, a friend, a relative, whether you're calling somebody on the phone, talking to somebody in your household, putting a post out on social media or something, go testify of it. Why? We're stepping into a flow of miracles. Miracles are to be the ordinary everyday. In the kingdom of God, what we call a miracle, he just calls normal. You know, again, he is a God who speaks and things are creatively happening. This is how it was with Adam in the garden. Again, we talked about this. God is forming an animal. He takes it over to Adam, whatever Adam calls it, dove. This thing takes off and starts flying. Whatever he called it, gave it its identity, and it went and became that thing, the power of his words. Again, the spirit of truth was in Adam. He had revelation knowledge to know exactly what to say to give this thing an identity. He is obedient to say it. And again, it comes to pass. When he fell in the garden, he fell from revelation to information. He no longer was hearing from God how to operate on a kingdom level. Jesus, the second Adam, the Bible calls him, comes back and demonstrates. So again, he comes about, when you look at it, he is teaching and preaching the kingdom. The kingdom is now here. The kingdom is now here. And he wasn't just teaching and preaching the kingdom. He was demonstrating this is how the kingdom of God operates. And again, he doesn't say that only I am doing this, boys, step back. Never did he do that. Over and over and over again, and we're going to see a glimpse into that today, he is talking to them about their faith. Oh, you of little faith, where was your faith? Why did you doubt? Why did you fear? And when we're looking at these miracles, he's given faith to them. So last week we saw the one with the issue of blood. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Not my faith, your faith made you whole. Again, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. That word is a continual. I'm not just having heard, I'm hearing and hearing and hearing. This woman was meditating on it, which that word meditate means to mutter, to murmur. All day long, she is by the eye of faith. If I can just, I see me touching him and I see me being whole. I'm touching him and I'm being whole. And she's just saying it, and she's saying it, and she's envisioning it all day long. Faith is coming, faith is coming, faith is coming. As soon as Jesus comes to town, boom, here she goes. Her faith moved her into action. What you really believe in your heart, you will really say and you will really act upon and you will really get that result, better or worse. That's the thing. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit, Proverbs 18:21. It'll happen. However you call it, is how it will be. In this truth, you are the prophet of your own life. Your words are governing your everyday life. Again, how you call it is how it will be. The authority of the word. Praise God. So today we're going to be seeing why Jesus said something to this centurion that he says to nobody else in Scripture. He says this to no one else. He says, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. This man is not a Jew. He is a Roman soldier. He's an Italian, right? This miracle is a blueprint for how revelation of our authority produces bold faith, right words, and most importantly, we're getting results. We're getting the word results. So we're going to look at this. There's actually two accounts that I want to highlight here today. And the first is in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. It says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, say home. Jesus came home. Again, his home was right there in Capernaum, right down the street from the synagogue. I believe we looked at that again here recently, where the four crazy friends came and brought their a buddy. They tore off the roof to get to Jesus. That was Jesus' house. All right. So Jesus had entered Capernaum, his home, a centurion. So a centurion is a Roman soldier, and centurion is where we get our word century from. It means 100. He has 100 soldiers that are under his command. All right. A centurion came and pleaded with him, Lord, my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible agony. I will go and heal him, Jesus replied. Pay very close attention to this. The centurion answered, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. Whew, what a statement. For I myself am a man under authority. So again, he's in middle management, right? You know, so there are soldiers under him, but there's a whole lot of rank over him as well. All right. I'm a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell one to go and he goes, and another to come and he comes. It's not unlike today when your superior officer gives you a man, sir, yes, sir. There is no question. Can you explain that to me? I just don't know if I, there is no hesitation. There's no feedback. There is just, sir, yes, sir, and they're about that business. Anything less, you're going to take a whooping, and you might lose your head, especially in these days. So again, they understand the chain of command. They understand absolute authority. When someone has spoken to you who has rank, there's no debate about it. No matter what it is, no matter what it costs, you go get your job done. Hallelujah. So again, I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell one to go and he goes, and another to come and he comes. I tell my servant to do something and he does it. They understand this absolute. When Jesus heard this, he marveled. So again, there's a crowd. He's in the city of Capernaum. You know, there's a crowd round about him. Jesus heard this. And it says he marveled and said to those. So when he marvels, I can just see him taken back, looking around the crowd, probably kind of smiling. And then he makes this statement. Truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Now, where's his disciples? Right here. He's looking around at them. I've not found such great faith, not in all Israel. I don't know if that, I could just see them, you know, kind of ducking their head and kind of looking the other way. And, oh, there's a food vendor over here. Let me get on. Right. Hey, man, just kind of duck out of the way. I'm not present right now because the people, I'm sure, were also kind of looking at them kind of slanted too. Like, hey, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Again, they've been hanging out with the master day in and day out. I say that many will come from the east and the west to share the banquet with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, he's talking about those who are actually born Israelis, and now he's talking about those, the Gentiles. He's talking of this day in which we now live, in which the Gentiles have been grafted into Christ. But he's saying those who will not believe, well, you're going to be thrown out. There's going to be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. But then Jesus said to the centurion, go as you have believed. Not as I've believed. I'm just walking down the street. You came up to me and you made a faith demand on me. So I'm just going to agree with your faith. As you have believed, so be it unto you. As you have believed, so be it unto you. Again, Jesus, all he's doing, he's just walking down the street. Man shows up in faith. Okay, I'm marveling at that. But ultimately, I'm just going to agree with your faith. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Hallelujah. Now, I want to look at this because Matthew 8 and there's also Luke's account in chapter 7 tells us this same story from two different angles. And I wanted to share both of these today. We'll talk about that. But Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, when Jesus has concluded his discourse in the hearing of the people. So again, he's teaching. He's been teaching. At the end of his meeting, the centurion comes up, or his representatives. He went to, in the course of the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. They're a highly, now Luke, something you have to realize about Luke. So Matthew is giving you his firsthand account. Luke is a Greek. Luke writes the gospel account of Luke. He also writes the book of Acts. Theophilus was a very, very wealthy patron who commissioned Dr. Luke to go out and write these two accounts. Okay, you'll see that when you turn over to Acts chapter 1, Luke actually gives credit to Theophilus, and he's telling him, hey, regarding that former account, which is this gospel account. But Luke, being a physician, so when you look at the healing miracles specifically, Luke will always give way more detail than everybody else. Why? Because he's a doctor. He's come at it from that perspective, but he's also a very highly educated man. He spent a lot of time with Paul. He spent time with the apostles, and even most likely also with Mary. But he goes back, and so what he does, he is interviewing all of these people, and he's getting Mary's account, he's getting John's account, he's getting Peter's account, he's getting all of these accounts, all these different perspectives. He's interviewing, and then at the end, he goes and compiles all of these stories into one seamless account, which is the Gospel of Luke. So again, you see things a lot of times in the Gospels, you'll see things and it almost seems like it's a contradictory, but it's really not. It's just a different, I'm looking at it from this perspective versus I'm looking at it from that perspective. But we're also going to see a literary device that's used as well in a moment. But Luke chapter 7, verse 1, when Jesus concluded his discourse in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. There, a highly valued servant of a centurion was sick and about to die. The other one just said he was sick. Luke says he's at the point of death. He's about to die. All right. Verse 3, when the centurion heard about Jesus, so he sent some Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his servant. They came to Jesus and pleaded with him earnestly, this man is worthy to have you grant this, for he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them, but when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends with the message, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. This is why I did not consider myself worthy to come to you, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. If you'll just say the word, here is what will happen. Again, he's dealing in absolutes. His faith is rock solid. I'm not questioning. Lord, do you think maybe that's right? Jesus himself testifies, I've never heard anybody say this before, not even in all of Israel. And yet here is a Roman soldier. He doesn't know the Torah. He doesn't know all of these things. And yet God has given this man a revelation. He's heard something about me and he understands this. Again, his faith is speaking. He got that faith from somewhere. He had a revelation being a soldier and it just dawns upon him, I see how and why this works. And so his faith speaks, Lord, you don't even need to come to the house. If you'll just speak the word, my servant will be healed. Verse 8, for I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell one to go and he goes, another to come and he comes. I tell my servant to do something and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled at the centurion. Turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith. And when the messengers returned to the house, they found the servant in good health. All right. So just kind of understanding this and unpacking this a little bit, Luke gives us this further detail. It says that the centurion first sent Jewish elders. Which really, but then second time around, they get close to the house. He says, no, I don't need him to come. I just need the word to come. So he sends friends to give that message. So the centurion actually never physically meets Jesus. Message was delivered through representatives, which again makes sense. He is a centurion. He's not going around town, you know, trying to micromanage. No, he's back over here in his place of authority. So again, he very well may have been the ruler over Capernaum, right? In that sense, the military authority most likely over that place. So again, he's not running about town. He's at the house. People are reporting to him. He's sending people out. This is how he spends his day. You know, I'm receiving information and I'm giving out declarations. All right. So why is there a difference? Because Matthew writes that the centurion came to him. This is a common ancient writing style called agency representation in Jewish culture and in ancient culture. Really, a messenger's words were considered the same as the sender's words. So if I have sent you with my message, it's as though I'm standing before you giving this message, which makes sense, right? You know, so again, even in the, as far as military goes today, if a corporal takes the word of a general to this lieutenant out in the field, the lieutenant is not telling this corporal, well, I just don't know about that order. I just don't think, no, general's orders. So again, this corporal carries the word of the general. This lieutenant has no choice. Sir, yes, sir. Amen. And I'm going to obey it and I'm going to do it right now. Hallelujah. This is that idea when you see this. So again, the servant or the ones who were sent, the elders or those of his household staff, it's the same as the centurion being personally present. Matthew, again, given that firsthand account, he compresses the story to essential dialogue. Luke, being the doctor, being very detail oriented, he expands the story to see the full picture of it. And again, we see the humility and we see the influence of it as well. So just to kind of summarize, put this all together to help us frame this story, a Roman centurion has a beloved servant who is paralyzed and near death. He sends elders to Jesus asking for help. Jesus agrees to come. Before Jesus arrives, the centurion sends another message. Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Now, what's to me, when you really look at this and understanding the day, it's astonishing. A Roman centurion, again, he's most likely the governing ranking authority in Capernaum over this area. He has all of these commands, soldiers under him, and if he needs more, he can call for them and they'll be there. And now he's telling a Jew, I'm not worthy to have you come in my house. As if. I mean, a Roman soldier, they look at Jews as dogs. You are a conquered people. You are inferior. We detest you. And the Romans as a whole detested them. Which is later on in 70 AD, they came and destroyed them. They took the temple down, every stone ripped to the foundation. Most of the Jews were slaughtered, and those that remained were sold into slavery and the diaspora. They were spread to the four corners of the earth until 1948. This is what the Romans thought of the Jews. But now here's this Roman centurion, and he's telling a Jew, I'm unworthy to have you even come in my house. That to me is that is astonishing to really see and hear that. All right. Why does he do so? Number one, humility. He recognizes that Jesus is a holy man and that according to Jewish custom, he is unclean. And it is improper for a Jew or for Jesus to come into his house. You'll see another account of this later on in the book of Acts with Cornelius, Peter. Peter was saying, Lord, I'm not going over there. They're unclean. I can't even go in their house, right? But the angels came and God had given Peter a vision and said, don't call unclean what I've called clean. And so Peter goes with them. He goes over there. He preaches the gospel, and Cornelius and all of his house get saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they're all speaking in tongues. Amen. So again, but we see this, that same concept. Number two, we see his reverence. He recognizes that Jesus spiritually is a high-ranking commander or a divine healer, making him feel unworthy of a personal visit. Third is authority. He understands that just as he could give soldiers commands, Jesus could command sickness to leave without his physical presence. Again, Jesus marvels at his faith, but as a result of the man's faith, his servant is healed instantly. So again, we were sharing this on I believe Wednesday night, talking about the four boys who came. They could not get to Jesus. He's in the house. You could not even squeeze through the crowd. It was so tight. So their faith, they were so determined. I know if we can get our friend or relative, whoever he is, to Jesus, he will be healed. So they interrupt the meeting. They tear a hole in the roof and they let their friend down just to get in front of Jesus. And was Jesus saying, what are you doing? No, he didn't scold him. Son, which is restoration of his identity. Son, your sins are forgiven you. And then he goes on to tell him, rise, take up your bed and go home. Amen. And he did. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes, I wanted to share this. The four guys who brought their friend to Jesus, their faith all was a result of if we can get to Jesus. That man on his own was never going to get to Jesus. They had to carry their friend or relative to get him. So the whole point of this is that there are times, a lot of times, whether it be in prayer or some other way, you are carrying somebody else's miracle. This centurion, his faith carried his servant's miracle. Without the centurion, without his faith, this servant's about dead and he would have died. There's, you know, Luke said he's at the point of death. Now, Jesus could have raised him up a week later, didn't make any difference. But the whole point is, without the centurion's faith, we have no account that this man had faith on his own. There's no record of the servant himself having faith of any kind. There's, you know, whatever that looks like. The centurion's faith got this man healed. Now, I'll say this. There are times, especially as baby Christians, just as our own natural babies, you know, there are times that as they grow up, we as parents are responsible to feed them, to nurture them, to raise them up. But there comes a day when they have to step out on their own, and it's no longer mama and daddy, you know, putting food on the table and buying your groceries and doing all those. You've got to do that for yourself. The same is true spiritually. You can ride for a certain amount of time on the faith of others, but there comes a time when God expects you to stand up on your own faith. And if you don't, you're going to fall. Yeah. I'm just letting you know. God expects that we're all going to be growing up spiritually. And there'll come a day when you cannot ride on somebody else's faith. Now, we can encourage your faith. We can agree in faith. But at some point, you will have to take account and responsibility for your own walk with the Lord. You are responsible to hear from him for yourself. And not just looking for everyone else around you. Do you have a word? You know, what does God say to you about my deal? you know, no, there's time. You've got to, you know, and so again, as pastors and as leaders, even as we disciple others, we always want to be leading them to Christ. Don't come to me for your answers, right? You know, and that's a very big thing in helping people grow up spiritually. Amen. That's extra. That's not in the message today, but just the Lord just, I believe, wanted to share that. So, but looking here, the God part, what Jesus brings into this moment. Number one, we see here in Matthew 8:7, Jesus is willing. Before the man even finished asking, my servant is in need of healing. It's a dire situation. Jesus, I'll come and I'll heal him. He is automatically, I'll do it. You come to me in faith, I'm going to come. And Jesus is on his way. So again, this very simple sentence reveals, I believe, three essential truths about God's heart for each one of us. Number one, Jesus is willing. And what I love here, again, this is not a Jew. He is not in covenant. This man does not have a covenant with God whatsoever. He is not saved because Jesus hasn't died on the cross. Again, he's not saved. He has no covenant. He is an outsider. He is unclean, right? If anyone disqualifies for a miracle, disqualifies for anything, it's this man. He has no, in this sense, no legal standing. You could say, I have a chapter and verse that God has promised me this, that, and the other, and I'm making a faith demand on it. You and I can do that today in Christ. He had no such thing. But yet, Jesus, without reservation, Jesus doesn't qualify it. Tell me about your walk. Have you been reading your Torah? Have you been going to synagogue? Of course he hasn't. Of course he hasn't. He's not welcome in the synagogue, even though he built the synagogue. They would view him as unclean, right? Again, this is why he says, I'm not even worthy that you come into my house. Jesus is willing. So again, he doesn't evaluate whether or not he's worthy. He doesn't ask for any proof. He just simply says, I will. And the thing that we must always understand, especially when it comes to healing or meeting our needs, his will is his word, and his will and his word have been established. The scripture says in 1 Peter 2:24, by my stripes you were healed. Well, if I were healed, I am healed. There's a lot of people who have prayed, oh God, please heal me. Checked, I'm not healed. Well, I guess it wasn't his will. And if and when it is, maybe he will. And so again, faith begins where the will of God is known. If I don't know absolutely beyond a shadow of doubt that it is God's will for me to be healed, you'll never get to the point of faith, much less saying or acting on and receiving your healing. So again, faith begins where the will of God is known. You have to know he is absolutely willing, and we'll see this throughout all of his healings and miracles. Jesus never, ever flinches. He never hesitates, no matter the situation. Every single time someone comes to him in faith, every single time they receive their breakthrough. Nobody's saved. Nobody's righteous. No one is so-called worthy, but because he loves you. He saves you because he loves you. He heals you because he loves you. He meets your needs because he loves you. And he's inviting you to receive it all. Don't leave anything on the table. Again, this is not a someday gospel. Someday, if and when and somehow, maybe you can get healed. Maybe someday you can get your needs met. Maybe someday you can make it to heaven. We'll see. No, it's an absolute. It's a settled fact. It's a finished work of the cross. So again, Jesus is willing. Jesus, number two, is compassionate. Luke adds that when the servant was sick and ready to die, Jesus moved toward the situation. Jesus moves. We also see another account in Matthew 14:14. Jesus, he was moved with compassion and healed their sick. I want to make special note, compassion is not an emotion. It's not a feeling. Compassion is love in action. Compassion says, I see a need. I see that you have no shepherd. I see that you're sick. I'm moving towards you. And when I get there, I'm going to do something about it. I'm not going to leave you like you were. I'm here to minister to you. Whatever you need, I'm here. The kingdom has now come. And I'm here to manifest the kingdom today. See? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, number three, is always ready to respond. The moment the request came, Jesus said, I will come. He doesn't pray, oh, let me check with the Father. If it be thy will, maybe I can check my schedule and maybe we'll see about if we can make it over there. No, faith makes a demand, and Jesus always responds to faith. He's bound to respond to faith. That's all he's looking for all the time anyway. Hallelujah. He moves immediately. So again, there's several scriptures I want to point out. Isaiah 65:24, before they call, say before, I call, he will answer. He's already said yes. The scripture tells us, every word from God is already yes. And which means so be it. What he's saying, before you've ever asked, I've already answered that prayer. I've already said yes. The word is already there to do the work. The moment you say, the moment you ask is the moment you're to receive it. And it's just simply amen. Thank you for my healing today. Thank you for my provision today. Thank you for our new church property today. Praise God. He's already said yes. He gives you a vision so you have something to lay hold of, something to speak, something to call out. That's why we're putting this in print, and we're going to expand on this and share more vision. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Jesus doesn't hesitate. He's ready. He's willing. He's compassionate. Jesus honors this man's revelation. The centurion makes a bold, very uncommon, but very much a spirit-led statement. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Again, Jesus doesn't correct him. He doesn't say, be careful. Don't get extreme. Don't get out of that boat, Peter. Who do you think you are? Never. Never. Well, instead, he praises him. Jesus praises this man's faith. And you'll see that in every case, he's marveling at their faith. Oh, what great faith. Oh, according to your faith. Bless you, sister, according to your faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. Jesus praises faith. When someone takes you at your word and acts on it, doesn't that bless you? When someone questions your word and hesitates about it, does that bless you? No, it does not. No, it does not. Oh, but he honors faith. When you just take me at that face value, when you take me at my word, oh, that blesses the Father so much. It blesses the Father so much. I don't want to get into it at the moment, but you can look over there. 1 Peter in chapter 1, and when you study that out, God is going to praise faith. Even in the ages to come, he's going to be praising your faith that you demonstrated in this walk. God himself, Jesus did it. Jesus praised their faith over and over and over. He's making much of their faith. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Servant, I've not heard such great faith. No, not in all Israel. Over and over, and the disciples repeatedly, he calls them out for their even their lack of faith. Jesus is very interested in faith because Jesus knows if I can get you to release some faith, you are now tapping over into and making a demand on the kingdom with actual kingdom currency. Again, faith is the currency of the kingdom. It is that bridge that connects the gap between this heaven, between heaven and earth. Thank you, Jesus. So again, Jesus magnifies and celebrates faith again. Jesus will always honor revelation because revelation is the birthplace of faith. The woman with the issue of blood had a revelation. That was the birthplace of her faith, but now she takes it and she works that. If I can just get to Jesus, if I can just get to Jesus, if I can just get to Jesus, that was birthed in her, but she had to activate it. She had to say it, and ultimately she had to act upon it, and she did. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at the man part, what the centurion did. He came to Jesus through representatives. So whether it was personally or through representatives, it doesn't really matter. But the ultimate thing is faith moves toward Jesus. Faith moves toward Jesus. Faith moves towards acting on the word and believing what God said. Again, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For those who come to him must believe that, number one, that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. Diligently seek him means I'm going to come to you on the basis of truth, not on the basis of my idea. A lot of times people want to come to God according to their idea or according to their standard. Jesus said, if any man tries to come to the Father by any other means besides me, they're a thief and a robber. They're not going to get in any other way. There is a protocol in the kingdom as to how things are going to operate. There are spiritual laws that are upholding all of these things. A lot of times people think that they can just pray their way through. Depending on the situation, a lot of times prayer in your thought of prayer is not what's needed. You need to hear from God, and you need to do what he says. Again, a lot of people are praying to the mountain. They're praying to God about the mountain. They're doing anything but what Jesus said, and that is to command that mountain. If and until you'll command that mountain in faith to get up, get out of here, be cast in the sea, don't you ever come back in Jesus' name. I'm here to enforce it. If and until you'll do it the way he said do it, you can pray till you're blue in the face. You and everybody in the church can pray all night for weeks and get absolutely nowhere, because that is not how this works. Again, I can't come to God on my good idea or the way I think this needs to go. No, you're going to come the way God told us to go if you want to get God's results. There's spiritual laws that govern this thing. And again, what a lot of times what people call prayer is not really prayer. It's just a bunch of vain imagination. It's a bunch of wishful thinking. It's a bunch of, well, I hope and this and that. Why don't we find out what God says the way and do it the way he says do it if we want to get God's results? Again, I spent 10 years working on a prayer line. And I was a prayer minister, a prayer leader, then a supervisor. But during that time, even on the prayer line, I ministered with tens of thousands of people. And I can just tell you, these are believers, good people. A lot of them been in the church for decades, but they had no idea about these things. And so they would call up for prayer, and I want you to pray, brother, that God will do this. And most of the time, it's regarding healing or finances. That was the bulk of our phone calls, is healing and finances, things that people deal with on a regular basis. But they're always seeming to come up this other side, and trying to share with them a little bit. I can't teach them a whole message on these phone calls, you know, but I would try to give them a word and try to encourage them in this, and then pray and command it that way. But again, this was the thing. You can pray, oh God, please heal me. Oh God, please heal me. If it be thy will, please heal me. That will never, ever, ever get you any results. We have to do it the way God says. I believe in my heart. I'm saying it with my mouth. And now I'm releasing faith in God. Whatever you show me to do about this situation, I'm going to do it. This is what's going to get results. You'll never find in Scripture where God will tell you, pray to God to get him to remove this burden. Paul gets the revelation eventually. He says, I prayed three times to God to deal with this, what he calls a thorn in my side. The thorn in his side, you know, was not a physical ailment. The thorn in his side was a figure of speech. And what it referred to was the Judaizers. These demonic influencers are coming behind him and harassing him, who have stoned him multiple times. All of these things that were happening, this was that thorn. He said, I prayed to God three times, and three times God told me my grace is sufficient. God was not dismissing that. God... eventually he gets a hold of it. And again, it is up to him to take his authority and command it, because Jesus already shared this over in Luke 10:19. Behold, look here. What did he say? Look here. I have given you authority to trample upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, if he has delegated you the authority, then you have the responsibility to speak to sickness and disease. You have the responsibility in the name of Jesus. You get behind me. That's why he said the Great Commission. You cast out the devil in my name. You don't pray to me about the devil, Paul. You cast him out. Hallelujah. If and until you'll cast him out, this isn't going anywhere. Your victory is in your mouth. You have to declare it. You have to be the one to speak it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He came to Jesus. Faith moves towards Jesus. So number one, we see here, he came to Jesus. He intercedes for somebody else. So again, his miracle wasn't for him. It was for his servant. So in faith, we can even stand in the gap as an intercessor for others. Number three, he recognizes Jesus's authority, which is the core of the miracle. He says, I also am a man under authority. So again, this whole thing really has to do about authority. I recognize the authority that you have to command sickness and disease. And he says, I understand this because I'm also under authority. I know when I get an order from a superior, it's sir, yes, sir, boom, it's done. I see that that's how this is working. He understands that authority flows from submission. He understands that authority is exercised through words. He understands that authority is recognized by those who carry it. He understands this very well, obviously. So he sees Jesus as a commander of the kingdom of heaven, and not just an ordinary healer, right? He says, I know if you'll just send the word, my servant will be healed. I understand how you're doing this. He recognizes Jesus's authority. We today have been given Jesus's same authority, the same authority that Jesus had to speak to that servant down the road, however far he was. You and I have that same authority. Jesus gave it to us. In John chapter 14, he gave us power of attorney to use his name. And the name of Jesus will do all that Jesus can do. It says, if you'll go in my name and cast out the devil, he'll have to flee. It says, if you'll go in my name and lay hands on the sick, they will recover. I'm not healing anybody. Jesus is the healer. Hallelujah. But we have to exercise our authority in faith. Number four, we see that the centurion's faith, he spoke it clearly. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Faith must be spoken. So again, Mark 11:23, Jesus said, you will have what you say. When you speak to this mountain, how you call it is how it will be. Romans chapter 10 reveals that believing happens in the heart, but receiving happens with the mouth. With the heart, one believes, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If faith only ever remains in your heart and is never spoken or acted upon, it will lie dormant. It will do you no good. So again, you have to know what the will of God is, but now you've got to speak it and you've got to act on it to see it all the way through to manifestation. Hallelujah. Say, oh my, or amen. Glory to God. The centurion didn't just thank faith, his faith spoke. Number five, he humbled himself. Lord, I'm not even worthy. Humility positions you to receive. Humility will position you to receive. Let's just say this together. Lord, I don't got this. You do. Just something as simple as that. Humility. I have a need, so here's what I'm going to do. That's not humility. That's not tapping into the kingdom. That's not receiving what he has for you. Now, you can pray, oh, God, if you could just please do this, or if you could just please do that. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. That's a vain imagination to think you're going to come to God that way. No, you're going to come to God. If you want results, you will come to God on the basis of his word, which is truth. Lord, I see in your word, you meet all of my needs. Lord, you see the situation over here. I'm presenting this to you. And Lord, whatever you tell me to do, however you want me to handle this, I'll handle it. He may tell you, put it on the shelf and forget about it and just thank me for it. Whatever he tells you to do is what's going to work. That is humility. Amen. That is tapping into the grace of God to flow in your life. And now you're going to experience a sweatless victory. Go throw that line in Lake McConaughey and pull out you a nice big walleye. You know, there's some gold in its mouth and you go enjoy that dinner tonight. How about it? Glory to God. Is that a word, Lord? Is that a word to go fishing? Hallelujah. He believed without needing a sign. He doesn't need a touch. He doesn't need a personal visit. He doesn't need a feeling. He believed the word alone was enough. And I can tell you, even as Jesus said, that's the highest form of faith. That is the greatest form of faith. Now, his own disciple, Thomas, been with him 3.5 years. I'm not going to believe unless I can see those hands. If I can put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. You'll never get healed. You'll never experience a miracle on Thomas's faith. Now, Thomas got it right after that, but in that moment. So again, even after 3.5 years, Thomas was here this day. And even after all this, Thomas is still, I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to believe. And here this man, this no covenant man, this outsider, this Gentile demonstrates the greatest faith. This is how you and I are to live today. All I need is a word from God. And if I've got a word from God, I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So again, looking at here, the man's struggle that Jesus helps him overcome, the centurion's struggle was not doubt. It wasn't doubt at all. It was feeling unworthy. Jesus overcomes this, number one, by affirming his faith publicly. Public affirmation will destroy that private insecurity in his life. I believe that blessed that man to hear that. Nevertheless, at your word, I won't come to your house, but let me affirm your faith. Number two, he removes the barrier of worthiness. Jesus didn't say, right, you're unworthy. No. He said, your faith has done this. So number one, I really want to highlight this faith, not worthiness, not whether or not you think you measure up. I haven't been so good. I've done this. I've done that. So I don't know if I qualify today. Faith alone, not your worthiness, is what receives from God. Again, as you'll go through all these gospel accounts, not one person is saved. Not one person has the blood of Jesus to apply over their lives. There's no righteous, no, not one. The scripture tells there's none righteous, no, not one. And every single one of them, without hesitation, receives a miracle who comes in faith. If they could do it then, how much more shall you and I in Christ, who are the righteousness of God, who are the redeemed, who are the healed, just reach out and receive today? Let's all stand. Just reach out and receive today. So to sum it up here today, how the miracle was activated. Number one, the centurion heard reports of Jesus's authority. Number two, he believed that the word is more than enough. Number three, he said, speak the word only. Just speak the word only. Number four, he did. He did. He came, he interceded, he humbled himself. Hallelujah. Jesus helped him affirm and honor his faith. The point that his faith was released is when his faith was spoken. His faith was released the moment he said, if you'll come and speak this word, my servant will be healed. That's when his faith was released. He did his part. God did his part. The servant was healed from that very same hour. And by the time they got back to the house, the scripture says he was in good health. He was at the point of death. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I don't know where you're at. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's finances. Maybe I've been struggling in sin and bondage and I need free from this. You can get free that fast. You can get healed that fast. God can minister finances that fast. Whatever you need. Now, don't be moved by time. If it took till tomorrow or next week, makes no difference. But we receive today. So whatever you have need of today here in the room, those online, I want to invite you. God has your miracle on his mind, and he's already said yes. Amen. Will you receive it today? Will you receive it today? Anybody that needs a miracle, anybody that needs healing, whatever it is, I would invite you to come right now. Come right now, step out in faith. We're going to pray. We're going to minister in faith miracles. We're going to minister healing. Again, I'm not the healer. I'm not the miracle worker. But we do have a command from the head of the church to cast out the devil, lay hands on the sick. They shall recover in his name. So we're just going to take a moment. Does anybody need healing? Does anyone need a breakthrough today? This is your time. This is your hour. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you online, yes, I want to invite you. Reach out to us. You can call us. You can write us. If you're in the area, please come by. We want to minister in person to you if we can. Praise God. We're going to be back here on Wednesday night at 6:30. We are looking at our discipleship course, Jesus, the Miracle Worker. And again, we're looking at these miracles in a little bit different light. We're doing a little bit of teaching, but then we have some group discussion. We have ministry labs. We're praying over one another. Amen. So that we all are participating in this. Amen. It's to help us grow in our faith, not just so that we can receive, but so that we can help others. Because again, you carry somebody else's miracle. Praise God. Well, in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and dismiss. In the meantime, know this, that God loves you. We love you, and in him, we are living in victory.